Sounds good.
Okay, so GMGM,
Yo.
firstly, I want to kick this off with the bigger picture so we can understand what's the connection between Lifinity and Sandglass.
Yeah, so Lifinity we started building about 3 years ago, and during the bear market, the previous bear market, we started to get a little more time on our hands. We were like spending less time optimizing our pools because they were getting pretty heavily optimized. So we were like, what could we build next? And this was before Pendle started blowing up on Ethereum. It was before like all the points and like anything in the bull market that we're seeing now. But we thought the concept was really interesting, that of trading yield. And we knew that although attempts had been made on Solana before, for example, there is a Jungle DeFi who tried to create a yield trading protocol on Solana. It didn't work out. I think the main reason being they used an order book model. But we knew that like it was an interesting DeFi primitive to have. And it just makes sense that users would want to trade the yield of various assets. And so like I wonder if we could create that for Solana. So while we're still optimizing pool for Lifinity to some degree, at the same time we began building what is now Sandglass, which is the first pool-based yield trading protocol on Solana. So that's the main connection. It's just the same team is building Sandglass that built Lifinity.
Okay, awesome. And now, just to give everyone a bit of context, could you give us a rundown on how much the TradFi yield derivatives market is worth right now, and like what's the existing solutions on other chains such as Pendle that you mentioned?
Yeah, so in TradFi, I think it's called the interest rate derivatives market, or maybe that's the main one. The quote-unquote yield trading market, it's not what they call it in TradFi, but the equivalent of it is hundreds of trillions of dollars, I believe, which is just like incredibly large. Like that's larger than the entire crypto market, like every crypto asset combined. So, it's just a giant market, and like in crypto, it's still like quite small and has a ton of room for growth, I think.
Perfect. Okay. And my last question regarding this bigger picture topic is why Solana? Obviously, we know the advantages, technical advantages of Solana being fast and almost free, but is there any specific reason why you guys chose Solana?
Yeah, so I think most of the answers are going to be quite obvious, but yeah, so like it's fast and cheap, and that means it's Solana's great for everything DeFi because financial applications, the speed and cheap really make a huge difference to whether certain applications are viable or not. And like how small of a user can use it. Like for example, on Ethereum, because transaction fees are expensive, that means like you have to be of a certain size for it to like make sense for you to participate in certain DeFi things. Like if you're too small, you can't even make a trade. So like the smaller you make transaction fees, the more smaller people can join in. That's like that's important to be on Solana. And then obviously, like we were already on Solana because we've built Lifinity. So as a team, like we're more familiar with the protocol, and that's where our existing community is. And then finally, like I mentioned before, Solana still didn't have a yield trading protocol on it, and so yeah, it made a lot of sense to bootstrap that market with a new protocol.
Cool. Just to let you know, for this last bit, the voice was a little bit robotic again, but we can guess the majority of it. So hopefully it's going to be fixed later on. I don't know if it's an internet issue or anything, but we can continue and we can hear you anyways. It's just a little bit robotic. But Yeah, so that's about it in the bigger picture. You guys are first movers in terms of this new model that you designed, and then you're trading on Solana. So let's dive into SandGlass, and I'm curious, what is SandGlass and what problem is it solving?
SandGlass is a yield trading protocol. It's basically the it's you can say it's like so like in a spot market you have assets, the you have like SOL, and if you think the price of SOL is going to go up, you want to buy SOL, and if you think it's going to go down, you want to sell it. So SandGlass is like the same for that, except that instead of buying and selling spot assets, you're buying and selling the yield on assets. So, for example, if you take SOL and you stake it, then you get the staking yield. So, let's say you get a liquid staking token like MSOL or JUTOSOL or BSOL or INF. Then you have that staking yield in that token. And if you deposit that into SandGlass, SandGlass will let users trade that yield. Basically, it splits up the token into two different tokens, or what's called the principal token or PT, and the yield token or YT. So the principal represents the underlying value of that token, the non-yield part. So basically, like the SOL left within that token, and then the YT represents the yield on that token. And then there's a time period specified for each vault on SandGlass. So there might be like a 1 year vault. And so the YT will represent 1 year's worth of yield on that token. And so then users can trade between the PT and YT. So like some basic strategies, like if you're bullish on the yield, if you think the staking yield is going to increase, then what you want to do is you want to trade your PT for YT. Because once again, the YT represents the yield. Or if your view is the opposite, if you think the staking yield is going to decrease and you want to
You
lock in
want to lock in.
the current yield, then you can sell your YT for PT. And then you'll have locked in a certain fixed yield. Yeah, so that's the basics of SandGlass.
Okay. Awesome. So, when would a scenario occur when price and yield move in the opposite direction?
Yeah, so this depends on like each asset, but let's take SOL as an example once again. So the staking yield on SOL is dependent on a wide variety of factors, and I think it can be quite complicated, but we'll just simplify it a little bit for this example. So right before the bull market, there was less SOL staked than there currently is. And just like any asset with staking, the more tokens that are staked, that means less staking yield because the yield is distributed among more people, the more tokens there are. So each staked token receives less yield. And so, if you had foreseen this bull market coming, then what you could have done is said to yourself, hey, I think the staking yield is going to decrease because once the bull market comes, a lot of people are going to buy SOL, which is going to make the SOL price go up. But then those people are going to stake their SOL, and that's going to make the staking yield go down. So I think the staking yield is currently, let's say it's like 8%, and I think it's going to decrease to 7%. So I want to sell my YT, which is the yield tokens of my stake SOL. I want to sell that for PT and lock in this current 8% yield. So that's like one scenario where the price and yield can diverge.
Okay, so all that is required for a profitable opportunity to arise is for a token's price and yield to move out of sync, I guess. And it is rare for the two to be perfectly correlated, so there should be many opportunities in the market like this. Before we dive even deeper, could you please explain maturity to us again in a bit in depth as we can meaningfully talk about trading yield without first specifying the time frame, you know?
So let's see. So when we talk about yield, and like we've been saying that the YT tokens represent the yield, you can't really talk about yield without saying like or giving a time period. So like when we say the APY of staking SOL is 8%, what that means is that if you stake for a whole year, then you'll get 8% return on your investment. That's what APY means, right? It's an annual percentage yield. But not everyone's going to be staking for exactly a year, obviously. So like we just standardized to 1 year through this commonly used term, APY. But there's no reason like why we need to make every vault 1 year long. So for example, like we could have a vault that's just 1 month long. And if we did that, the YT tokens would represent 1 month worth of yield. Or we could make it longer. You could make a vault that's for 5 years worth of staking yield. And in that case, the YT tokens would represent 5 years worth of yield. And this is important because when the maturity comes, the YT tokens and also the PT tokens become redeemable for a specific amount of the tokens. So if it's like a staked SOL vault, you'll get you can redeem your PT and YT for a specific amount of staked SOL. And the specific amount, of course, will be determined according to how much yield was actually generated throughout the time period of the vault. So, yeah, that's why maturities are important.
Awesome, and I hear a huge opportunity for customization from short-term time-frame vaults to even 5 year or years-long term vaults. I think just to give a quick recap for everyone here on the panel today, and an asset can have wide different yields over the course of a day compared to a year. So even if you are comparing the same amount of time, say 1 year, this year's yield is unlikely to be the same as the next yield, next year's yield. So, I have a specific question for which I will link an image in the chat right now. If you could look at it, as we have three APIs. If you are looking at the AMSOL vault right now on the SandGlass platform, could you give us a rundown which API represents what and just give a brief explanation?
All right, is this in the chat?
Yeah, in this the round table chat. The voice chats text channel.
Let's see. Let me. Here we go.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Oh yeah. So what are these three APYs? Is that the question?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Yeah. So first we have the underlying APY. So this is the current yield on whatever the asset is. So in the image, we're looking at MSOL, and it says underlying APY is 7.29%. So this means if you hold MSOL, you're currently earning 7.29%. Now, of course, this is just the current yield, so it doesn't mean it's guaranteed to stay at that figure, like you said. Like that's going to change throughout the duration of the vault. This one's about 1 year, so that could go up or that could go down. All right, so next one we have is the fixed APY. So this is the APY that you're going to get for buying PT. The reason it's called fixed APY is because once you buy PT, you are locking in a yield or an APY. So once you lock in that yield, it doesn't matter what happens to the underlying APY. It could go up or it could go down. It doesn't matter to you because you've already locked in whatever APY that you bought PT at. And of course, the fixed APY, as well as the next one, the long yield APY, these are market determined APYs or prices. And for that reason, it'll of course diverge from the underlying APY. The underlying APY is kind of like the current truth. And then the fixed APY and the long yield APY are like what users are speculating. It's where buyers and sellers are expressing their opinions on the yield, whether they think it's going to increase or decrease. So just taking these numbers, the fixed APY is currently 7.3%, which is just slightly above the underlying APY. So what this is saying is you can actually lock in a higher yield than the current underlying APY, which means that the market is slightly bullish on the yield. So they've bought a little bit of the YT. And that's why the PT tokens are slightly cheaper than they would if the pool was perfectly balanced. And that's why you can lock in an APY slightly higher than the underlying APY. Okay, and then finally, we have the long yield APY. So as the name implies, this is buying YT tokens at the current price. And when you buy YT, you are quote-unquote longing the yield because you think the yield is going to increase. That's why the long yield APY, the way it's found is the APY you get from buying YT and then assuming the current underlying APY remains constant until maturity. The reason it has to be defined this way is because the yield, the actual yield, is going to change over time. Right? We don't know what's going to be tomorrow and the next day and what it will be until maturity. So that's why we have to assume a number, until maturity, to actually figure out an APY. And that's why it's just convenient to use the underlying APY as like the benchmark that we use to calculate what the long yield APY is. So unlike the fixed APY, which, like I mentioned earlier, is guaranteed once you buy it, it's fixed. That's not the case for the long yield APY. When you buy that, you bought the yield, but of course the yield will change over time. It can go up and it can go down. So, it will depend on how the underlying APY actually moves after you buy it. So it's not. Go ahead.
I just have a question already, and my question would be, so with SandGlass, with the fixed API, for example, if I'm convinced that the API of AMSOL is going to decrease in the future, I want to lock in my gains right now with the fixed API, I can do that, and in 321 days I'm going to earn that API which I locked in at?
Yeah, if you buy PT and then you wait until maturity, at which time you can redeem your PT for MSOL, then you will have gotten an APY on your SOL, the underlying SOL, that is exactly the APY that you bought it at.
Mm-hmm. Also, and I do I need to wait for maturity, or can I sell earlier as well?
Yeah, you can definitely sell earlier as well. So, and that's kind of the cool part. So if you wait until maturity, then there is that guaranteed APY. However, suppose the PT price goes up after you bought. If the PD price goes up, that will mean its APY will go down. So in that case, the price went up. So yes, you can wait until maturity to just get the APY that you originally bought at, or you can just decide to sell early because now you're selling at a profit and you'll have more MSOL than what you started with. So yeah, you can also take that approach if you want.
Cool, cool, very cool. I love this concept. And could you explain providing liquidity? If I read correctly, SandGlass creates an opportunity for LPs to earn additional yield on their already yield-bearing assets. So what does this exactly mean, and how does LPing look on SandGlass?
So that's the one aspect we haven't talked about yet. There's three basic views on the yield that users can have, and we've already talked about two. One is you can be bullish on the yield and you think it's going to increase, in which case you want to buy YT. And another one is you think it's going to decrease, in which case you want to buy PT. But the third possibility is that you don't think yield is going to move much. You think it's basically going to stay the same. In that case, you don't really have an opinion on like which of PT or YT is better. You have no reason to really trade into one or the other. But in that case, what you can do is you can provide liquidity for the traders who do have an opinion and who do want to trade. And that's good for you because instead of holding MSOL in your wallet, for example, where you get the staking yield, if you provide liquidity, on top of the staking yield, you also generate trading fees. And so, and this is all passive. You don't have to actively manage your liquidity position like you would have to on like a concentrated liquidity market maker. So you just deposit your MSOL. You don't need any USDC. You don't need to pair it with anything. You deposit MSOL, and you're already providing liquidity and earning trading fees.
Your voice was a little bit cutting out, but if I heard correctly, can I only provide MSOL as liquidity? I don't need pairs.
Correct. Yeah, you don't need to pair it with USDC, SOL, or anything. You just deposit MSOL and you're good to go.
Okay. Well, this is really awesome, and I guess a really lucrative opportunity. And I know that LP providing is currently locked. What are you waiting on to open up LPing for the public?
Basically, the main reason it's still not open is we want to make sure that our market making mechanism is profitable for LPs. Right now, all the liquidity in SandGlass is our own liquidity, Lifinity's liquidity. So Lifinity is providing liquidity and taking on the risk while we make sure that the market making mechanism is working well. That's the main reason. Our market making mechanism is unique. It's not the same as Pendle's. So that's why we wanted to make sure that it's actually working well before opening it up to the public. But yeah, we definitely want to open it up to the public for sure, because we think the TVLs should become quite large, certainly much larger than Lifinity would be able to provide liquidity for by itself. So, definitely excited to open it up to everyone once we're ready.
Yeah, I bet that the TVL is going to surge, because who wouldn't want this opportunity for themselves to... Basically, there isn't even any impermanent loss, right?
Impermanent loss should be small, in our opinion. I think that kind of depends on the asset as well. Like, some assets' yield is going to be much more volatile than others. So, for example... staking yield tends to be pretty stable, right? Like, it generally ranges from like 8% to 11% or something like that. So, yeah, you can expect that there wouldn't be much impermanent loss for assets like that. But for some other assets, so for example, like take like JLP, Jupiter's Perpdex LP token. Like that one, its APY has ranged from like 50% to, I forgot if it went as high as 200%.
It was
definitely as high as like, So like that's quite a wide range, right? And so more impermanent loss is possible there. But of course, higher volatility also means more trading. So we can also expect there to be more trading fees for assets like that. And then like Pendle actually did a study for their own assets, an impermanent loss for it, and it was found to be negligible. So we would expect that we'll have similar results for Sandglass as well. So yeah, I think it shouldn't be much of an issue. And I guess one final thing to mention is points. So the thing about points, and this is very popular on Pendle, where the YT tokens will not only get the yield of an asset, but also whatever points are being directed to that token. So like a common one is like there's a lot of restaking tokens on Ethereum right now, and they get points for holding like restaked staked ETH. And but the thing about points is they don't actually have a price, right? That's kind of their point, is that no pun intended. like they're not real tokens in your wallet. It's just an off-chain system. And then one day, supposedly points will be able to turn into tokens, but there is no price right now. So everyone's speculating, like, how much are these points going to be worth? And that's like a huge use case of Pendle, is like people are trading their points through YT tokens on Pendle. And so for those, it is possible that there's significant impermanent loss of the points. But it's like, there's no way to know that until the points actually become tokens that are worth something and we figure out their true value. And really, like, nothing you can do to mitigate that, because nobody knows the true value of points until they actually become tokens.
Oh, very great that you mentioned that. And I wanted to touch a bit on the other tokens whose yield has the potential to be traded. And I read in one of the Lifinity threads that, for example, even VE Lifinity would be one of these. And just like you mentioned, Perps LP tokens such as JLP and FLP down the road. I'm curious, when could we expect these, since right now only major LSDs have the vaults?
Yeah, so the next two assets that we're working on right now, one is JLP that I just talked about, and the other is Kamino's CUSDC token. So that's a deposit receipt token. So basically, like when you deposit USDC into Kamino's main market as a lender, you get this CUSDC token. And yeah, so you can trade the yield, the lending yield on USDC on Kamino. So that's usually ranged from like, I don't know, 5% to 30%. So it's actually like fairly volatile, definitely much more volatile than staking yield. And, you know, same for JLP. So I think those two assets will be pretty interesting. So we're excited to launch those.
Super cool. One personal question. What's your personal favorite type of token or asset that you want to see on Sandglass? We talked about, you know, the ones that give staking yield, Perps LP tokens, and now CUSD. Is there anything specifically that you would love to see there and you want to onboard it?
Yeah, the thing I'm most excited, I think, is VE Lifinity. Mm-hmm. Just because, Lifinity is our baby, right? And it's something the Lifinity community likes to talk about, like, what's the yield going to be this month? And so I'm like super interested to see how people will trade VE Lifinity's yield. I'm just like super curious to see what would happen in that market. So yeah, I hope to make that a reality one day.
Yeah, definitely. And that also is affected by how much revenue you guys generate, right? Is the portion of it is being shared or bought up, or could you give us a rundown again how that works?
Yeah, so VeeLaffinity holders receive 50% of the revenue that Laffinity's DEX generates, and it's distributed on a monthly basis.
Okay, and is it in the form of like VeeLaffinity increasing or value, or is it directly sent to their wallet in forms of like USDC?
Right. Yeah, so it's all in USDC. And actually, that's another thing that makes it interesting, is because most assets, I think, the asset and the yield are denominated in the same asset. So, like staking yield, you stake SOL to get stake SOL, and then the yield is SOL. Or like you deposit USDC into Kamino to get CUSDC, and the yield you get is USDC. So it's like in the same thing. But in the case of VeeLaffinity, the asset you stake is Laffinity to get VeeLaffinity, but the yield is USDC. So that can result in some interesting strategies because not only do you have to think about the yield, but now you have to also consider that how the asset and the yield asset, how their prices will move relative to each other. So it just like introduces extra complexity and creates a larger strategy space. So yeah, that's another reason why I'm interested to see that one.
Awesome. Yeah, I love these strategy aspects of it as well. And that's the end of the list of my questions. So I quickly want to open up the stage to the people here. If you guys have any questions, feel free to unmute yourself, because now it's the time to ask Durden about Definity or Sandglass, anything you guys want. I see everyone understands the concept of Sandglass and your trading. I see you guys. I have one last thing for you, Durden. Just last time you were here, we were talking about Project S. We didn't know what it was. You were teasing it. So this time, is there any exciting news that you'd like to share about Definity? Something that we should look forward to?
let's see. I actually just made a tweet about this, but the one thing I'm excited to see is where you take your SOL, you stake it, you deposit it in a lending protocol. And then you deposit your C token into Sandglass, and then you take your Sandglass PTYT or LP tokens, and then you restake that on a restaking protocol. And if you do all this, that means you'll be getting four sources of yield from one token, which would be kind of insane. But we've been talking with some restaking protocols on Solana. So I don't think this will happen like soon, but yeah, it's something we're already exploring. So I hope that one day becomes a reality. That'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, indeed. We just love to see all of the sources of yield right there. I just sent your tweet in the chat as well for people to look at it, and I think that's a very great unexplored market and yield generating opportunity out there. So, I think we really went in on Sandglass and yield trading. Thank you very much for coming today and explaining the whole concept to us through a lot of examples and giving us an easy to understand overview of the whole thing. Personally learned a lot, and look forward to hosting you anytime, learning about Lifinity and Sandglass, and we'll be sure to try out the platform and flood it with liquidity once you open the gates.
I just love coming on these AMAs with the All Arabs. So thanks for having us on again. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a good rest of your days.
All right, you guys too.
Peace.
Thanks for coming, Ben.
No problem.